let's talk about who we have in studio right now. Writer, director Liz Manischel and actress Christine Weatherup. Bread and Butter, the movie, is at the Phoenix Film Festival at Harkin Scottsdale 101, screening 5:55 p.m. today and 1:55 p.m. tomorrow. Again, Bread and Butter, screening 5:55 p.m. today and 1:55 p.m. tomorrow. Dave, I really like this movie.
I just thought this was hysterical. I really enjoyed it as well. And congratulations, Liz and Christine, to both of you. Such a funny movie. This is how I describe it. It was really funny, sort of quirky a movie in a way. Very unpredictable. A feel of Adam's Family a bit, Benny and June, and Juno, for Ellen Page's movie. It had that feel to it, to me at least. And I mean, some of the lines, abnormal is much more attractive. I mean, some of those things, some of the many funny scenes you had that you had, you know, the life coach was hysterical. And it was just a really sort of simple but honest and a pure movie with complexities, I call it. And I don't know if that makes sense to you.
Well, I think I need to let... I forgot to read the synopsis of the film.
I'm so excited about this.
I know.
Now everybody wants to hear.
I know. Yeah. Christine Weatherup plays an endearing misfit who, on the brink of turning 30, searches for signs to show her how to deal with her obsessive parents, her eccentric boss, and her virginity. So there, you know, you'll deal with quite a lot. Your character.
That's true. Yes, let's separate. Yes. It's my character.
Yes, and it was.
Yeah, he was wondering that earlier, and I go, "Hey, I'm not touching that one." Now you can ask. You already got the answer. So
it's her character.
Okay.
Yeah, it was hard to get into the role, right?
Sure. Yes, I'm very different. I'm so sophisticated myself.
Yes. Very good. Well, Liz, I should ask you. You know, where did this idea come from for Bread and Butter?
Well, I was a late bloomer. I wasn't necessarily an Amelia, but I was a late bloomer, and we'll let it lie there. And when I grew up, I watched a lot of romantic comedies because I found a certain level of comfort in them. I liked when the couple got together. Yeah. I liked to swoon. It made me feel better. But then when I actually started dating, I was like, wait a second. This is not in any way like those movies. So I wanted to make a romantic comedy for people like me, someone who could maybe ground them in a little bit more of a realistic scenario. The way dating was like for me. So a lot of it is autobiographical and drawn from personal experiences. And I think our goal of having a more healthy romantic comedy was the ultimate prize at the end of this.
And, you know, what a great cast. In addition to Christine, I mean, tell us some of the other names.
Well, Bobby Moynihan from SNL, our drunk uncle in a very different light, is in this movie. He's actually quite sweet and he's wonderful to work with. Lauren Lapkus from Orange is the New Black and upcoming Jurassic World is in it. Eric Lang, who plays Dr. Welburn, that life coach
so
you mentioned.
Funny.
he's like in everything. He was in The Bridge. He was in... Notorious, the Disney Channel show.
He was also just on Broadway in The Country House opposite Blythe Danner.
Yeah, he was in Stalker. Yeah. He's in Secrets and Lies. He's in everything. He's amazing. my boyfriend's in the movie. He plays Riley. His name is Sean Wright, and he's awesome. So he's in it. And then Harry Groener, if you know Harry Groener from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, he plays the mayor. He's also been on, he's a 3-time Tony nominee. And then Don Didewick is in it.
And Micah Hauptman.
Well,
Micah, Leonard.
I always forget Micah because I think of, I'm sorry, Micah.
There's no reason
to forget Micah because Micah's so amazing, but I do forget him all the time.
It was great though. Yeah. I mean, it just I think everyone at some level can relate to this because it's just not. I mean, one of the lines I think from one of the guys with the beard, I forgot his name in the movie, but he said, you know, the reason I think they said they made high school is that they have subcultures so people can fit in. To like he joined the drama club,
exactly.
So
yeah.
People can relate. I mean, I was relating. I go, yeah, I joined the chess club, you know,
yeah.
And you know, and there's things like that, and I think that was really interesting. So people can relate, no matter if they can relate to the character or not, they can relate to the situation.
Definitely.
Yeah. And how was it, Christine, for you? because you're not like that in real life, you said. Is that a stretch? Is it hard to, you know, try to project what that's like to be someone that's a little bit out of touch maybe with reality a bit?
Well, I think we all, I mean, I think as an actor, your job is to find that little kernel that you can relate to. And I think with Amelia, there were many kernels I definitely relate to. I mean, I you know, in many ways felt like a late bloomer. I went to an all-girls school, actually. So dating in high school was not something that I knew much of. And I felt very nervous about the whole idea of it. So even though I may not have been 30 when I was going through what Amelia's going through, I definitely related to that fear of putting yourself out there and, you know, what's expected. And I want this, but do I want this? And how do I do this? And all of that.
I did like, you know, some of the commentary, you know, on some of the situations, the circumstances that when dating, like you were kissing the, what's his name? And that I spit too much, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, it was funny stuff. I mean, you know, usually, you know, you may not say that, But in this type of movie,
but man, you're thinking it.
You're thinking it, and people are thinking it. So you're right. And
yeah,
very funny. And the other one, I mean, so many of them. But so I'm not going to give much away here. But when let's see, who played the other guy?
Micah Hauptmann,
who's amazing, and I will never forget him.
Very
ever again.
Cool. I mean, great acting, no question. But he said, yeah, you know, it was the parents paid for his therapy because, you know, they broke it, they bought it.
Oh,
I mean, that's a funny line.
Yeah.
That is really funny.
That's actually based off of my friend. I'm always afraid to talk too much, so I'm just going to say my nameless friend. That line is stolen straight from her mouth because she's in therapy. And I was like, why do you go? And she said that. And I was like, that's great. Like,
oh,
that's a great way of looking at
things.
I know what you're talking. I mentioned my friends on the radio all the time. And I actually...
Do you make up new names for them? Or?
Kind of, yes. I mentioned...
Wait, that was Cynthia. Cynthia. She said that.
I mentioned the real guy's name to New Year's ago. He had two twins on his lap, and I said that on the air with his real name, and he was furious. So now I just say the dinosaur guy, and you can get an idea of what a, you know, a T that is. But anyway,
no doubt.
I know what you. Yeah,
but my fear of saying too much.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, as the movie developed, you ended up picking the guy that was a bit depressed, and not the other guy. How did you like? I don't know. I mean, there's a script involved, but
sure.
So you can't really change it. But to me, I'm thinking, wait a minute, why pick him? You know, but it got me thinking, right?
Yeah.
And so that was well done by you as the writer. But how did you feel about
well,
that?
It's
did
funny.
You like the... think like, yeah, why would I pick him?
It's an interesting thing. When I first read the script,
yeah.
I definitely thought I would pick the other guy, me, Chrissy. Like I would definitely have picked Daniel. He's the safer choice. He's
yeah.
so sweet. You know, he has
a
faults.
Job.
Yeah, he has a job. That's a plus. But what's interesting is one of the producers on the film, Tiffany, I remember talking to her, and she said, no, when I read it, I would pick Leonard, the bad boy. He's interesting and fascinating.
Wow.
And so I thought it was an interesting sort of test in maybe
yeah.
who you are, who what type of person you would pick. And I think what Micah does actually very well in the film is that he's so charismatic, even though, I mean, on paper, his character has a lot of issues, but somehow he's so genuine and warm
yeah.
that you can see how Amelia could be blinded and sort of just follow that, thinking that maybe it'll work out even without his job and sanity.
Yeah.
Also, one of the parts of the script that we're trying to do, and I don't know if it comes through, is to show the foibles and mistakes of people who are romantically inexperienced.
No doubt about it. And
yeah.
that was what I took from this
yeah.
because this is a common thing in reality.
Mm. Yeah.
People picking someone like, are you kidding me?
Right.
You know, right? That yeah. probably happens to you.
Oh,
people
yeah.
pick the other guy. And you're probably wondering,
thanks
what?
Thanks a lot.
He could be the bad guy.
I'm not getting involved in this.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying. I mean,
that's okay. We'll take care of it.
Yeah. But you're absolutely right. That's right on, because I think this totally relates again. Like, how is that possible?
And a lot of, I found that when I first started dating, I mean, these two characters are based off of either amalgamations or real people, and the Leonard original person, I was drawn to him because I think I wanted to take care of him.
Yeah.
And I think that was, I liked the idea that someone was relying on me and that I could make someone's day better. And then you realize, wait, clinical depression's not romantic. It's not magical. And it's something that you really have to invest a lot more time in. It's not like a romantic whim that you're just going to like dip your toes into.
But the comment that you made, you know, as the actress there, is that, hey, I'm not your girlfriend, so I'm not taking care of you.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the sort of interesting thing. And then, you know, well, I don't want to spoil things, but this was really the tremendous comedy. I just think it's
thank you very much.
It's charming. It's cute. It's full of great acting, and you are really
you.
Good.
She's really great.
And you know, on that note, since you're saying that, and I mean, there's no better time to tell people it's screening 5:55 p.m. today at 1:55 p.m. tomorrow. Bread and Butter is the name of the movie. And right now, we are speaking with writer director Liz Manischel and actress Christine Weatherup. And you know what? You've got to get down there and ask them questions. See the movie, of course.
Yeah.
But then you're going to ask them questions. And I didn't notice this until like a few minutes ago. Christine, your eyes are amazing. I don't know if it's the dress as well.
Thank you.
But I mean, look how blue those eyes are.
I noticed from the film. You just noticed a few minutes ago?
But you,
what is going on here?
It's in person. And that's what I'm saying. You got to go down there in
to see,
to see these eyes in person.
To see
it
those
might
eyes
even be
in
better.
Person.
I don't
all
know.
All right, the eyes have it. You're
forget
right.
the movie. No,
how many actors are you going to hit on today, Jason?
Wait, there have been others?
Yes.
I thought we were the only one.
No, okay. Wink,
there
wink.
Were others.
But but I really, really love this. Now, what have you done? You've done stuff in the past.
I have. This is my first lead role. I mean, this was the very first film that I was in every single scene. So that was an interesting challenge.
Oh, it was great,
but,
though.
Yeah, thank you.
I mean, the versatility. I mean, I won't say much, but there was a couple scenes that I go, well, that looks real.
Yeah.
I won't say what it was. But,
that's interesting.
I'm not touching
but now, the
now
listener,
you really want to see it,
yeah,
right?
That's why I did it. I'm good at PR. But it was good.
Thank
and
you.
And then, so you've had other...
I have.
Roles,
yeah. I have. And I have a feature that I was in that's just finished being edited. So now they're going to start the festival track called Echo Lake.
Oh, nice.
And in May, I will be in an episode of CSI Cyber.
Ooh. Good for you.
Yeah, yeah. So a mix of things.
I think you have a good career.
Oh, thank you very much. I hope you're right.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to more. If you want to write more of these type of things, these are funny.
I'm writing my second one right now.
Oh,
so,
is it like this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how to not write like this. I am neurotic. I'm, you know, anxious all the time, and I write weird people in weird scenarios.
It is cool stuff, though, I gotta
say. Bobby Moynihan, I just have to say, I mean, so upset that he wasn't coming to town. I mean, I'm glad that you're
aww.
Here, but I mean, of all of your actors in the film, Bobby Moynihan is just excellent in the film. I love him on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad that you said Drunk Uncle. I mean, what a talented guy. And this is a different role for him as well.
No, exactly. He was pitched to me, you know, not pitched to me essentially, but someone sent me his reel. And I was like, oh, Bobby Moynihan, I've heard of him. I know his work. And then I watched a scene from Girls that he was in. I don't know if you saw him in Girls, but he played like a very realistic, substantial character in the show Girls. And when he came to set for our film, I think he was just so excited to not be in a dress or play a baby.
Or actually to use his own voice, not to be doing a character voice.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, I feel like he's a little bit underappreciated as a dramatic actor, and he's definitely has the chops for it.
You know, your parents in the movie, the mom, funny.
Yeah.
I mean, that was
the
just...
The dinner scene was
just so
hilarious.
Hysterical. That's what I'm saying. Scene after scene, it was just so entertaining and amusing. And
yay.
You don't see many comedies that, you know, sometimes there's a big laugh and then you have to wait another half hour. This had this flow to it of just a smile on my face throughout. Same with you.
Yeah, I agree. It was a very enjoyable film.
Very.
Again, I think we should say the times that it's playing.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Harkins Scottsdale 101. It's part of the Phoenix Film Festival. It's in competition. It's screening 5:55 p.m. today, 1:55 p.m. tomorrow. The name of the film is Bread and Butter. You're going to want to go to the box office and say, I want 10 tickets to see Bread and Butter.
That's
20
right.
tickets.
20
a whole
tickets?
Loaf.
A whole loaf. What? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well played.
A second. I was like, what?
Oh, yeah. There's no question about it. Wow, have you, and this is, you said you're in other festivals now, right?
Yeah, so after Phoenix, we just got back from Cleveland, and...
How was that? I hear that's a good festival,
right? It's not as good as Phoenix, but it's wonderful.
It's a good one.
And for the people in Cleveland, it's not as good,
as
better than Phoenix?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You're digging yourself too deep.
I always say the wrong thing.
The words expressed on this program were not necessarily the host. Okay.
Yes.
No, I'm kidding. But I did hear Cleveland was a very
Cleveland's
good
great. It was
yes,
a
lovely.
Wonderful, like, completely...
Did you meet Sean Lackey? Rocky, who made the Yank?
No.
Oh, no.
Another funny movie. Yeah, we saw it in Sedona Film Festival.
Oh, nice. Aww.
So he came on and...
we should check it out.
Yeah, it was a funny movie, too.
Yeah.
Another funny one, but... So you went there, and now
we're heading to World Fest Houston. We're going to Minneapolis, St. Paul International. Oh. We're going to Scene SCNE in Providence, Rhode Island.
Wow.
Starting our run right now. And then we're hopefully going to be released in July. So
for people
to watch us on iTunes, things like that. So
let's get you out in the big screen.
Oh, well, I would love that. If you want information on how to see the film outside of the festival, you could go to our website, breadandbuttermovie.com, and sign up for our newsletter, and we're happy to give you information how to see it.
Now, do you both travel to these festivals?
This is our third one that we've both traveled to.
Yeah.
So we went to Cleveland and then to Woodstock, New York for the Woodstock.
Oh, Woodstock.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really nice.
The days of Woodstock, yes. wow, that is so, it's got to be exciting for both of you, right?
Incredibly exciting. And it's just been so incredible to see the film with different people and hear everybody's response. Yeah. You know, it's...
Because you're in a vacuum. Like, we were in a vacuum for like 18 months.
Yeah.
Like, you make the movie.
You're not sure how it turns
exactly.
Out.
No idea. And then, it's just your own it's your own response to the film when you watch it.
How did
you two
get together?
Oh, that's an interesting question because...
Oh, gosh.
So, oh, gosh. That makes it sound like it's an embarrassing question. It's not.
Oh,
no.
I can't wait.
So, Liz wrote an article for IndieWire talking about how she was having trouble casting the film because she wanted to make a film about a real woman, deglamorized romantic comedy, and felt that in looking in Hollywood, everything she was being pitched, you know, every woman was sort of a cookie cutter, perfect stereotype, you know, size zero woman. I don't know. You could elaborate.
No, that's very true. I wanted, I call it my avatar. I wanted my avatar on the screen. You know, we have Mindy Kaling, we have Lena Dunham, but in terms of people who don't look like boring Barbie dolls, we have a very few.
You can name
group
most of
people.
Those women, yeah.
I mean, it's those two and then maybe a smattering of others. And so I wrote this article, and at the end of the article, I was like, hey, if you know of anyone to suggest or if you want, you know, please email me. And I gave my email address out. And
I emailed.
Yeah.
And I said that, I mean, the article really resonated with me because I feel like in my own career, one of the roadblocks has been that I don't fit in. You know, I've had agents tell me or casting directors say that I don't fit into one of those boxes. Mm. And so when I read this article, I was like, finally, somebody wants somebody who doesn't fit in a box. And so I wrote to Liz and said, you know, I really loved what you said. And I don't know if you're interested, but if there's any role I'd be right for, I'd love to audition. And she let me audition.
Oh, that's awesome story.
And she lives, as I like to say, tell everyone, she lives like a block away.
And we had
me.
No idea.
L.A.?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just down the street, which in Los Angeles, you don't really live down the street from many people.
That's a sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's a sign.
No doubt about it. What is your sign?
Virgo.
Virgo, September.
What are you doing?
I'm Virgo. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm the one that's supposed to
fit. I'm Libra. Right. I make the peace and, you know, just harmony. And what are you?
Huh? Capricorn.
Oh, no. Get out.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
When did you have a passion to be an actress?
Oh, my gosh.
Day
one. I
guess you say actors now, right? It's not actresses.
I say either. It's funny. I'll often say actor, and then people will tease me about it. Like, no, you're an actress. But I answer to either.
Yeah, either.
Yeah, and I'm not offended, actor, actress. But for as long as I can remember, I always wanted to be an actor.
Wow, that is so cool to have such a passion. Most people do not live their passion in life. And that's one of the tragedies in life, I believe.
Oh,
don't
yeah.
you think?
Yeah, yeah.
Not living your passion. I mean, you're writing, you're acting. Although you're living your passion. You're a film commentator.
Yeah, yeah, real good. No, I'm kidding.
All right.
Thanks.
That's a longer discussion. Yeah. Well, I do want to mention... I do want to mention that, Liz, you are going to be one of the panelists on the Women in Filmmaking.
Yes.
We talked about it, actually, in our second hour.
We had Jill on
our
show.
I love Jill.
Manica,
I've never met her.
She is cool.
I think
very
that's 3:30 p.m. Is it today, Saturday?
Yeah.
3:30 p.m. today, Saturday.
I'm going to be there, too.
Oh, we'll see you in a few hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like right after. I mean, we're coming. We're about less than an hour away, so we gotta rush over there. And so people can watch that as well. I think it's going to be in the Party Pavilion, and they can mix and mingle with you guys. you're looking forward to that, right?
I am. And if I could speak to that for a second, we made this film specifically. This is a film made by women for women. And we are lucky enough to have men who like the movie, too, because hopefully we reach something universal in the film. But the goal of the film was to crew a female majority, because when you're in the industry and you're on sets, there's not a lot of women that surround you. I mean, as a writer, director, if I PA, I'm usually one of the very few female PAs. I've heard stories from Chrissy where...
Yeah, it's very rare. I think Liz was the second female director I'd ever worked with.
Oh, is that
and since
right?
then, I've had a few more, but it's very rare. And then to have a DP, a director of photography, be a woman is also extremely rare, which we had, Katie Walker.
Yeah, she's wonderful. Woo. So we basically had all our crew department heads were women, with the exception of editorial, that was a male head, but Lindsay Morrison co-edited the film with Bruce Novotny. So in terms of women in film, it's something I'm really passionate about in terms of making films for women. Women by women.
I have a great idea then, because on our Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network during the week, we have a show called Empowering Women.
Very cool.
To help women, because I believe that women do not get recognized as they should, the greatness that women have in so many different areas. So we have this show. I'm one of the hosts along with a woman co-host. And we'd
I hope so.
Yeah, I know. It would look a little funny.
It's just a bunch of men talking about women.
Yeah, that would. But it's a really powerful show. We interview women, and we'd love to interview both of you.
That would be
lovely. Yeah. Sign us up.
Yeah, we will definitely do that, because it's very important that, it's perfect right now with, women not getting equal pay, which is not right. I mean, you should be paid what you're worth, for sure. And all the other obstacles that I think women go through, and that's what the show is about. So we'd love to get your perspective on
that. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Once again, writer-director Liz Manischel, actress Christine Weatherup. The movie's called Bread and Butter. We're thanking you so much for joining us here in studio to celebrate the Phoenix Film Festival. Go out there, see this movie, Harkin Scottsdale 101. It's screening 5:55 p.m. today and 1:55 p.m. tomorrow. Go out and see the movie, see Christine's eyes, have an absolute blast.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
You're more than welcome. Congratulations. Great movie. Funny. And it will change your state of mind. So